Sermon title today is Created to Know God. Do you know that you are created to know God? Do you know that everybody in this world is created at the time of birth, created in the image of God to know God? Amen. I heard a Christian comedian one time, and he was speaking about this great theological debate, and the great theological debate was whether Adam and Eve had a belly button or not. Since they were not birthed, as you and I are birthed, with having a belly button, it was a big question. Theologically, do they have a belly button? And the Christian comedian says, I believe that they were a prototype of all human beings, that yes, indeed, that they had a belly button, because when God created them, he said, you're done and you're done, and they both had a belly button at that time. Saints, when you were created, you, he said the words, you're done and you're done. And I believe he instilled in you some things that are truly unique that only that he could have done. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. You're going to hear a couple of scriptures that were shared during Dennis's class this morning in CE. So in Genesis 26, chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, it says in verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. It's also followed up when you turn, we're going to come back to Genesis chapter 1, but turn to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, it says this, whosoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed, for in the image of God he made man. We today are created in the image of God. In our moral, in our spiritual, in our intellectual nature is created, I'll say that again, in the image of God. In our moral, our spiritual, our intellectual, and also in our intellectual nature, we're created in the image of God. So when you look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, Genesis 1, 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. When it says, let us make man in our image, who was there? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In the book of John, it says there was nothing that was not created without Jesus being there on the scene. Jeremiah 1 and verse 5 says this, before I formed you in the womb, I already knew you, that he already knew us before we were even thought of by our mother and our father. It is for you to be born on this earth with God's purpose, God's plan in your life, and he's only got a plan and purpose in your life. You were born to know him, and you were born to spread the word and tell others about Jesus. Amen? So turn with me to Psalms 139. That was another scripture that was shared in CE this morning. So in Psalms 139, it's one that you're very familiar with, but verse 13. Psalms 139, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. Fearfully and wonderfully made. In the image of the creator of the universe, you were created in his image. It is a true statement to say it takes more effort to not believe than it does to believe. It is a true statement to say it takes more faith to not believe in God than it does to believe in God. Listen to me. Before I was saved, I believed that there was life after death. Before I was saved, I believed in God. Let me ask you, did you? Think about it just for a moment. Now, in my own life, I was not raised in a Christian home. My mother and father They did come to know Jesus later in their life, but when I grew up, they did not know Jesus. My mother and father did not know Jesus. They did not go to church. My grandfather, my grandmother did not know Jesus. They did not go to church, but I grew up believing that there was life after death, and I believed that there was a God. Now, if you were raised in the same kind of circumstances that I was, how many of you believe that there was a God? And how many of you believe that there was life after death? Now, many of us, I know that you had the exposure of a mother or father. You had the exposure of a grandparent in your life. So why did I believe these two things to be true? Because I believe these are attributes of being created in the image of a holy and righteous God. In your spiritual DNA, at the point of creation, it is instilled in your life are attributes that can only be attributed to God. Those attributes are, number one, an inner sense that God exists. Now think about that just for a moment. When you talk about that you're wonderfully and created in the image of God, and what says that God is a spirit, they that most worship Him must worship Him in spirit. And we talk about the Holy Spirit, that is the Spirit of the living God. So we see that you're not only physical, but you are also spiritual. That you're created in the image of God. You're created to be in a relationship with Him through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And through that, there's some beautiful things that God has instilled in your life, an inner sense in your life that may you have never thought about any time other than this. An inner sense that God existed. Now turn with me to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, if you go over to verse 18. Romans 1 and verse 18. And verse 18 says this, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress," now listen to that word, "who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His individual attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." So what? So they are without excuse. In verse 18, how many people out there today are suppressing the truth in their life? They recognize it, but they don't want to respond to it. So they're suppressing the truth of God that is in their life. We hear many times of, I remember a specific incident where there was this native people and these missionaries went over to them. And this native would walk up to the top of the hill every day and he was looking and he was looking and he was looking. And every day he'd walk up the hill and he'd stay up there and then he'd walk back down. And one day he saw somebody coming. And there were missionaries that had gone to this outlying village. And when the missionaries got up there, the native said to him, "Did you bring the book?" In other words, he had revealed to his heart and to his life that the Word of God is what he needed more than anything else in his life. And he was asking that missionary, "Did you bring the book?" In our lives, we recognize that, or we're suppressing it. If I fail to recognize the truth, then I don't have to respond to it. I don't have to do anything about it. The world takes the attitude, "Let's not talk about it." That way, I don't have to think about it. How many times do you, in your own life, you go to witness to somebody, "I don't want to hear it." They may not raise their hands and wave their hands, but that's what they're saying. "I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about it. I need to accept Jesus. I don't want to hear about it. I need to come into a relationship with my Heavenly Father through Jesus." Because what does that mean? It means I've got to do something about it. I've got to make a decision. I've got to make choices. The elephant in the room in a person's life is that there is a creator of the universe, and you need to recognize it. Do you know why the unbeliever gets so irritated by your witnessing? Because they already know it. How many people have you witnessed to? It's like, I know it. I know it. I've known people, young couples, if they would just change three things in their life would be right on track. You know, we talked about so many times, if you want to be blessed by God, you need to position yourself in your life and in your relationship with God so you can be blessed. And how many people are walking out of position? If only they would do two or three things in their life, it would get them back into position with God so they could be blessed. But they don't want to change. They want to suppress that. The world takes the attitude, let's not talk about it. That way I don't have to think about it. They already know it. They don't want to think about it, so stop bringing it up. The unbeliever wants to be like the ostrich that stuck its head in the sand. The Christian come along and he keeps wanting to pull them up by their feet to get their head out of the sand. And they don't like it. They want their head buried. In verse 20, creation screams creator. When you look at verse 20 of Romans 1, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Mankind is without excuse. In verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. You're witnessing to them that internally they know to be true, but they don't want to recognize it. And they don't want to think about it, because then they would have to do something about it, and they do not want to. Romans 1 and verse 28. When you look at Romans 1 and verse 28, it says, even though as they did not like to what? Retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to debased mind to those things which are not fitting. Ignoring the truth does not make it go away. Number two. Another attribute instilled in your life at the point of creation is that there is life after death. It's very rare that you would run into somebody that does not believe that there's life after death, and they may be more specific, that they may say that there's a place called heaven. Well, how do you get there? And you know what the theology is of most people in the United States that don't know Jesus is, well, you're a good person. And because you're a good person, God is a loving God. You're going to be welcomed to the streets of glory. They believe in their heart that there is something after this life. Now turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11. We refer to it a lot. 3 verse 11 says this. He has made everything beautiful in its time, and also he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. He has put eternity in their hearts. That's something else that you receive when you're created in the image of God. You received an eternity placement in your heart that you would believe in eternity. Now, every scholar that I studied on this believed the same thing, that it was something that was instilled in people's lives at the time of birth. So if you ask 9 out of 10 unbelievers if they believed in heaven, and they would say yes, and they would tell you that they think that they are going there. Truly, in their hearts, people believe that there are things beyond themselves, and that's what the scripture is teaching, that there is something beyond themselves. That there is a creator and that there's life after death. But number three, instilled in your life at the point of creation is enough faith for you to come to the knowledge of the truth to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Think about that just for a moment. Think about the faith of a baby. Think of it as the faith of a child. unless we become like little children, we cannot come unto him. You think of the little children. I remember when Amanda was a little girl. She was like this tall. And I remember that I was doing it, preaching his sermon, because Marvin and Joni, they remember probably my first sermon that I ever preached, or Carol's sermon, first sermon that she ever preached. And I remember when Amanda was a cute little girl, and we had a big, tall platform. And I said, Amanda, you come up here, and I'm going to put out my arms, and I want you to jump in my arms. And she did not hesitate. She jumped right into my arms. Now, how many of you today, listen in comparison, she's a little girl. We'll just go out here to the roof of the church. We'll put Dennis up on there and say, Dennis, jump. I'll catch you when you drop. How many of us would just run right off there and jump right off the roof? Unless we have the faith of a little child, we cannot come unto him. There is enough faith in the unbeliever's life to come to the knowledge of the truth. Though Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and they're taking that faith and they're placing it in something else. They're placing it in Joe Biden. They're placing Donald Trump. They're placing it in the world. They're placing it in this. They're placing it in themselves. But they're not putting their faith where their faith needs to be. The faith that God gave them, he gave them that faith so no, they would not believe in the government, but that they would believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's where we're supposed to apply our faith. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans 12, verse 3. Mandy, you can tell Kylie that story when you get home today. If Kylie here today, she's not here today. You'll have to tell her that story. In Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly and listen to the words, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. You know when you activate that faith is when you accept Jesus. That's when you activate that faith. And that faith is a starting point in your life, and you should be walking in tall cotton in your faith today, because you've been walking with Jesus for 10 years, for 20 years, for 30 years, for 40 years, that you have all the faith in the world that whatever God says, I can do in his precious and holy name. Amen? Yeah, look at that old guy. He's doing something, isn't he? To have your faith in Jesus to grow and to grow and to grow and to grow. That you can lay on hands on sick and they will recover. You don't have to call for the pastor. I'll just anoint them myself and pray for them to be healed. That spiritual faith is there, but it remains dormant until you activate it by receiving Jesus. There's one more before we close that we want to get to today. It is an attribute that is given at the point of creation that shows us how much God loves you and that he wants our love to return to him from us. Can anybody guess what that is? This attribute is so special and so unique that it can only come from God, and he shows us how much that he loves us and how much that he wants for us to freely share our love back to him. And that attribute is choice. That godly attribute is choice. He gave you the ability to choose, to accept Jesus. In Joshua 24:15, he says, Choose this day on who you're going to receive, who you're going to believe, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We must all make a choice. That's what it comes down to. Think about it just very briefly. Number one, he instilled in you in the time of creation the belief that there was a God. Then you have to decide what that God is going to be to you. Number two, that he instilled in your life that there's a place called heaven. But then you have to decide how you're going to get there. And number three, he gave you the faith so you would make that choice and you could know Jesus. Think about a loving God, how loving he is. Think if you say, I want you to do this and this and this and this, but you don't give anybody any way to get there. Here's heaven. Here's the streets of gold. Here's a mansion over a hilltop that I believe is already prepared for you and I. It's already there. It's already done. But I'm not going to tell you how to get there. He told us how to get there. It's through Jesus. And he gave you the faith so you can make that decision. He that believes in his heart, confesses with his mouth, well, what? They will be saved. Have you activated that faith in your life to the right thing? Or have you activated it to yourself? Are you activated to the government? Have you believed in many gods rather than one God, the one true God? He lets you have that choice. Now, that is a loving God. He doesn't want robots. He wants you to freely make that choice that you love him, you worship him, and you want to serve him. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we just thank you for all the things that you have instilled in each and every one of our lives at the point of creation. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Without that, I'd never come to know you. Without that, I would have never accepted Jesus. But you gave me that little spark of faith that I could make that decision. And now your spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a child of God. I can know that. And I rejoice in that forevermore. Maybe there's one here today that has not made that decision to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But today it has all come together like it has never come together before. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would reveal it to their hearts and to their lives. Today is the day of salvation for them. Today is the day that they activate that faith. They have been laying dormant in their life. They've been using it for other things, but the Lord gave them that faith so they could come to know Jesus. And I pray that you would impress that upon their hearts and their lives. And I'd ask very simply and very quickly, with every eye closed and every head bowed, do you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? We're not going to leave this place without asking that question today. Do you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? If you would like for me to pray for you to confirm that faith in your life to Jesus, I'd like for you to slip up your hand. I'd like to pray for you today. Father, we just rejoice in what you have done in each and every one of our lives. And Father, as we move towards a communion service, I pray that you would bless it, and I pray that you would anoint your life in our lives today, that we will feel the closeness of your Spirit as we partake of the communion together, not only with one another, but also with you today. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Father, we rejoice in this day that you have given us to come out and to praise and to lift up the name of Jesus. And may we be strengthened by your presence today to face this week to come. Be with us as we go our separate ways. May your hand be upon each and every one of our lives. And we ask it all today. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen.